The following is a CSPN Media podcast presentation.
Let me tell you about who deserves a shot at the United States heavyweight.
Let's hear it.
I'm the champion. I ought to know. You know, I've been sizing up guys since I came to the WCW. And I think the one guy that stands out the most, the guy that I think has earned a title shot, El Dandy, I think you're a heck of a wrestler. You're a great technician in the ring, and you're a jam-up guy. Whoa. I don't see any reason.
Wait a minute. El Dandy has been wrestling in the cruiserweight division here. Please.
He's a great wrestler.
He's a great wrestler, but my goodness sakes, it's 50 pounds
who
difference.
Who are you to doubt El Dandy? Because this guy's a serious professional.
Well, let's talk about some serious
contenders. How about hypnosis? Let's get through
that. Psychosis? Psychosis?
Whatever. He's a great wrestler. You know.
Like a broken needle, can you miss an appointment?
Welcome to episode 153 of the WrestleCast. I'm your host, Don DeLaRente. I'm joined, as always, by my SmackDown Matters correspondent, Miss Didi Jonet.
Hey, friend.
Hey, friend. How are you?
I'm good.
All right, all right. We are joined tonight by a special guest from Twitter. You can follow him at Koopa_Kinte. What's up, Koopa? How you doing, man?
What's up? What's up? What's up? You know, I'm a celebrity now. You know, I'm famous now. So, you know, you got to refer to me as your Royal Highness, Koopa Kinte, HNICRNS. You know what I'm saying? But no, I'm playing. No, I'm good. What am I wine? I forgot it.
Man, we are so glad to have you here tonight on the WrestleCast.
No, I appreciate it. I've been waiting to get on for a while. So, you know, glad to be here.
Oh, man, thank you for coming. Just to let everybody know that you can follow the WrestleCast on Twitter, at WrestleCast. You can follow me on Twitter, at Don DeLaRente. And you can follow Didi Jonet on Twitter, at Didi Jonet. The WrestleCast is presented by CSPN. You can find us at CSPN.us. You can also find us on thewrestlecast.tumblr.com. We're also on iTunes, Google Play, SoundCloud, and Stitcher Radio. So, Koopa, since this is your first time on the show, as with all first-time guests, we like to get their origin story, kind of the reason they started watching wrestling, who got them into watching wrestling, who are some of your faves growing up, what keeps you watching, and some of your current faves.
Well, I don't know exactly when I started wrestling. I think my earliest memories might be 89, maybe 90. I remember I did go to like a house show in Tampa at the USF Sundome. My mom took me there, but I was already pretty much into it then. I was probably like 7 or 8 when that happened. My faves back then, well, now and forever, Sting, but, you know, old Sting, not Crow Sting. Not the old Sting, but, you know, previous Sting. Taker, Brett. Those guys, I wasn't really a fan of like the super heavyweights or Hulk Hogan. Savage was, you know, that was my dude back then. But, you know, I don't know. I've just always been into it. The storytelling of it. I wanted to wrestle when I was younger. I don't know who didn't, though. And yeah, I took a break from wrestling probably around 2002. So I pretty much missed the majority of like the rise of John Cena and the Randy Orton era. I missed like pretty much all of that. I didn't really start back watching wrestling again until maybe 2014. So, and here I am. My faves now. This might be unpopular opinion, but I'm gonna go Roman. Roman, Trap Usos, New Day, Finn, Shinsuke. The popular ones.
The ethnics.
Well, yeah, and that too. Everybody but Finn.
Oh, he's ethnic. Irish counts occasionally.
Well, I guess since my government is Irish, then I'll say yeah. I'll
rock with that. There you go.
All right. Well, it's very cool to have you here. Like we said, I was a really big fan of the Surfer Boy Sting myself. I was hoping and praying on the last Nitro that he would come out with the WCW colors, the gold and the blue and the blonde hair just one more time. But didn't happen.
Yeah, I mean, I kind of dug the Wolfpack sting. You know, just because I really hated the NWO, like the original, the black and white NWO. I really hated that faction and how it grew and how everybody was in the NWO. And then the Wolfpack kind of got convoluted as well. But the Nash, Sting, Conan, Wolfpack, that was my clique.
All right. Well, we're going to shift over to some news. We've got two quick news articles. First off, on Tuesday, Jeff Hardy has surgery on his torn rotator cuff. So he's going to be out of action for a significant amount of time. Hopefully, once they get in there, it's just a rotator cuff. They don't have to do anything else once they get in there. But you never know. It could be, you know, depending on how long, you know, he's kind of had this injury, it may be more severe. You know, once they get inside. So, yeah, he'll probably be out until like May, you know, with this recovery and rehab before he gets cleared. So, I'm more than likely going to miss WrestleMania, which will be unfortunate for him. And in our second bit of news, the WWE, as reported by the Young Bucks, has sent a cease and desist order to them for using the too sweet gesture.
Now, me and you were getting into that earlier. I didn't think that they could trademark a gesture, and I don't know, did they send a cease and desist to Finn and Anderson and Gallows when they were using that in Japan? Or is this just, you know, Vince, did he really send it? Because you said according to the Young Bucks, so this could just be the Young Bucks spreading some stuff.
It could be rumor mill. I think what it may come down to is, you know, the Young Bucks have that Hot Topic deal. Uh-huh. And it was just reported that Hot Topic has sold over 100,000, you know, Bullet Club Young Bucks merchandise. So okay, maybe okay. It's just something that he's seeing the success that's happening with their merch sales. And he's trying to make sure that they don't try to exploit that onto a t-shirt or put it up in Hot Topic. Yeah.
All right, I see that.
I heard, unless something has changed, I thought that the North Carolina State Wolfpack kind of had the trademark on, because that's their Wolfpack actual signature. They do that little thing to symbolize a wolf. So, and I know they have a lot of clothing with the hand gesture actually on it. So I don't know if they have a trademark in for that as well. So it's just very interesting. You know, this is basically direct blowback from the Bullet Club showing up in Ontario, yeah. California this past Monday night outside of Raw. They were talking about they were trying to invade, but they were basically just out in the parking lot, just, you know, capitalizing on their popularity. They had done a Hot Topic meet and greet earlier in the day, and they just kind of shifted the party over to the parking lot outside of the arena where Raw was being held. So it was a cool scene. It definitely had the internet talking on Monday night, you know, what if this happened or what if that happened. So,
and that was definitely Cody and Brandy trying to stick it to him as well.
Right. Haven't heard kind of what the WWE reaction from the inside of their of the arena was, but I'll be really interested to see kind of, you know, what they thought about it. They said the Young Bucks said that they were there to free their friends. Of course, they're talking about Luke Gallows, Carl Anderson, and Finn Balor. So that was pretty
cool. I can't wait for them to pull the trigger on that. I don't know what Vince is waiting for with this Balor Club stuff, because he's been a Balor Club of one since he got there. And I know he was injured and he's been out for a while, but I don't recall because I don't watch much of NXT, but did he even have a Balor Club in NXT? Like, was there a stable there?
No, just himself. Okay,
so they just been, you know, partners in the wind, doing too sweet every chance they get, but there's no stable, there's no faction, and I'm waiting for them to pull the trigger on that, because, you know, we need some stables on Raw. Right now, all we have is the Miz, Taraj, and the pending Shield reunion.
Right. Yeah, it'll be interesting to see when Vince finally gets the, you know, gets the wherewithal to, you know, use the Good Brothers in that role as the backup and the muscle for Finn. It'll probably take a heel turn before it'll actually happen. So it may be a year or two away. So, of course, this past weekend on Sunday, we had No Mercy, hashtag a lot of mercy cast. Thank you for everybody who joined us in the live tweets, who retweeted and shared their commentary with color. So to start off, of course, we always have the hashtag say no to pre-shows. We had Elias Sampson versus Apollo Crews. Elias runs Apollo's Crews into the turnbuckle. Then he gives Apollo the drift away, and Elias Sampson gets another victory. DD, I know that this was one of your Baywatch matches, as
would have been had it not been on the pre-show.
Elias. Oh yeah, that's right.
You're a classist.
Where do you think the hashtag came from?
I mean, I know that, but I'm just saying, as far as your Baywatch goes.
Listen, I love all the Bays, but if you're not good enough to make it to the main show, you're just not good enough for my eyes. I'm so sorry.
Did you peep this one out, Cooper? Did you get a chance to watch this?
Yeah, no. I told you, pay-per-views, I'm in there for the 5 to 7 hours. So I was in there. I'm not extremely invested in anything that they do with Apollo Crews or Elias right now. But I saw it. I mean, I could see some potential there. They look like they're trying to get Titus back into the ring and maybe have him work a program with Elias. So we'll see how that goes. I mean, I wasn't a great fan of Titus's in-ring ability when he was actually wrestling. I like him as a valet. But, you know, maybe instead of him actually getting into the ring, maybe he just, you know, does a little interfering on Apollo's behalf. And maybe we can get some personality out of Apollo with the possible tweener / heel turn.
Yeah. Yeah. I'm thinking the same thing, a heel turn, whatever charisma he's got. That would be the thing to bring it out of Apollo Crews. So now we'll hit the pyro, and we will go into the main show. Hashtag a lot of mercy cast.
Was that pyro?
Yes, pyro. as The Miz faced off with Jason Jordan. It's actually good to see The Miz defend his IC title in front of a full crowd this time, as the last time we saw him defend the title, there was nobody in the crowd. Jason Jordan goes for a roll-up, but the ref was distracted. Miz kicks out, and then Jason Jordan runs into a right hand from Curtis Axel. Jordan then falls victim to the skull-crushing finale, and The Miz retains the IC title. After the match, Jason Jordan is having an in-ring promo with Renee Young, where he asks for a rematch. So one thing tells me they're really trying to get Jason Jordan like over, because when do losers get in-ring interviews, for one? So that was kind of odd to me.
I think it plays into the nepotism fate thing, though. You know, he was a loser that got an in-ring promo because of the perceived nepotism from his father, Kurt.
Okay. Didi, anything you'd like to add to this match? Did you like Bo Dallas's attire?
Mm-hmm. He's looking extra biracial. Yeah.
He's nice. He's spending a lot of time in a tanning bed, or
he's embracing his chocolatiness.
Putting two or three coats of that spray tan on.
It's not spray tan, it's blackness.
Okay. Speaking of Bo Dallas, his brother, the Eater of Worlds, Bray Wyatt.
Ooh,
the Eater of other things, too.
I was thinking that, and I was like, that is so... Ooh. I don't know why I thought you were about to say JoJo's Cakes, and I was like, that is so bad.
I mean, she got a world back there, so, you know...
I don't know why my mind went right there, and I was like, "No, don't." I don't know why I thought you.
I think because we all make the joke in the Raw cast whenever Bray comes out, it's just natural now. But he was facing man on man Finn Balor, not the Demon King this time, and Finn is victorious. He hits Bray with two shotgun drop kicks, and then he hits him with the ultimate Kevin Sullivan foot stomp, and he gets the win. So hopefully this program is over, because as always, Bray Wyatt doesn't win. It's disappointing. It's the reason why I didn't win. Who you got? This match right here.
Well, Bray had a little steam these last couple of months into the summer. Didn't he win his program with Seth? When they had a little program, or who was it? It was somebody. He won his he had won a couple of pay-per-views. So he had a little momentum, and then they put him in this program with Finn. And, I mean, they haven't really done – I know they're still trying to work Finn, and then Braun emerged, and so he kind of got lost in the shuffle. But I really want them to do something with either both of them, not together, but they need to do something with them, because both of those guys, they need more than what they're getting.
It's time for Bray Wyatt to turn into a babyface. You know, it's time. It's time to give him something, to get a little something different. And I think he would actually hit a home run if you went to being more of a babyface. Next, we get the Raw Tag Team title match, as we had Dean Ambrose and Seth Rollins versus The Bar, Sheamus and Cesaro. Let's give a shout out to the real MVP, Cesaro. Mm-hmm. Took a monkey flip from Dean. It took a catapult from Dean Ambrose into the... supposed to have been the turnbuckle, but he overshot the turnbuckle and his mouth hit the post and jammed his teeth up into his gums. Chipped his teeth and jammed them up into his gums. It looked like they knocked his teeth out, but no, they were pushed up into his gums.
3 to 4 centimeters. I mean millimeters. 3 to 4 millimeters. That's a lot. That's in teeth, awful. Tooth length.
So needless to say, he was, you know, bleeding from the mouth, but he didn't stop. The show must go on, and he continued the match, wrestled all the way through. Sheamus catches Cesaro with the bro kick by accident, which leads to Rollins hitting Sheamus with the snowmaker. Dean Ambrose finishes off Sheamus with the dirty deeds, and Dean Ambrose and Seth Rollins retain their Raw tag team titles.
Wait a second. Is that what that move is actually called?
No, that's what I call it. I call it the Snowmaker. It's called the King's Landing, I think, is what he gave it the name this week.
Oh, okay. So he's Jaime Lannister, Kingslayer, King's Landing. Okay, I got it.
I call it the Snowmaker because it's everything that the Rainmaker is, except for it's not a clothesline, it's a knee.
Okay. All right. Okay. So he's going full Jaime Lannister on this. All right. Cool.
Definitely the second best match of the night on this card. I mean, they really get down. They have really good chemistry. Sheamus and Cesaro has really, turned into a really great tag team.
Yeah, they work.
And it's like I said, you know, Cesaro is the real MVP. I mean, this man sacrificed his grill to put on an excellent match. And Seth and Dean were okay, too.
I just did not like the ending. I think it's because I don't like Dean Ambrose, but it's just the dirty deeds, really? After all we've been through, that's the thing that nobody could overcome? A damn dirty deeds?
I think we're going to get into a conversation about finishers by the end of this podcast, because there was a lot of that. Like, really? They couldn't get up from that? Really?
That was my whole complaint the whole night. The whole match would be real epic, and then it's just like, well, we're tired. That'll work.
Right.
That'll do.
You kicked out of 12 of my finishers, but we're going to do this one finisher, and that's going to be it.
Yeah, man. Stressful. Whew. Could not get up from that. That's right. So annoying. But anyway.
Our next match was for the Raw Women's title, as we had the champion, Alexa Bliss versus Nia Jax versus Emma versus Bayley versus Sasha Banks. Alexa runs Bayley into Emma. Then Alexa gives Bayley the DDT. And Alexa Bliss retains the Raw Women's title.
Even that was a shenanigan, but that's okay.
Buh.
Whatever.
First of all, I should know better by now.
I asked you, were you sure?
Second time that we've played Who You Got.
And the second time you turned your back on your boo.
Yes, I went against my better judgment and picked somebody besides Alexa Bliss.
And it's the second time I asked you, were you sure? Because I know how you feel about her. And every time you turn your back on your vanilla princess.
Yeah, and she came through again. She's the best at playing just getting by. And it works so good. And then she gets on the mic and talks real big. And everybody's like, but you barely won, though. So I love it from that point of view.
I didn't have thinking about it now. I don't have as big a problem with her winning. Everybody wanted Nia to win, but I'd prefer Nia take the strap off of Asuka. Like I do, I prefer Nia be the one to end that streak. So I'd prefer that Asuka takes it off of Alexa. You know, I was thinking short term when, you know, oh my God, Nia needs to win this strap now. But long term, I think it's better if she's the one that beats Asuka.
Yeah, I don't mind any of that. I just, again, I don't like the finisher. She could have won. I don't care about that. I just, that finisher, just that one thing after everything, it's so annoying.
It's the DDT as Jake Roberts. Now see, that's where you're wrong. Go ahead.
No, you go ahead. Go ahead.
Ladies first.
No, because I want you to tell us about this as Jake the Snake Roberts said. What he said.
Oh, in the famous promo where the guy asked Jake the Snake Roberts, hey, what does the DDT mean? He smirks and goes, the DDT? That means the end.
Those letters don't even do that. No. My thing is, you gave me 20 years, let's say, of the DDT just being like a two-count kind of thing. It's like when Sammy does the Blue Thunder Bomb and nothing happens. Nothing's ever going to happen because nothing ever happens. So you can't then just magically, because Alexa Bliss of the 5'0" decides that now a DDT is a finisher, it be a finisher. It ain't ever been a finisher for anybody that I saw for the last 20 years, because Jake the Snake was in the early 80s. Or the late 70s.
I mean, the Dirty Deeds is a DDT.
And I think it's bullshit, too. See?
Well, I mean, it is.
This so. Is why they, damn, it's their fault.
This is the,
you got to refill. The, you got to have it with
no,
you.
That was the end of the bottle.
Oh, that's piss poor planning, friend. You'll learn better on your next
now
time.
I got to. No, well, no. I mean, I haven't.
You have another bottle.
I haven't been drinking.
Great.
I haven't been drinking the wine lately, so I didn't really know how much I had.
Oh, no, that's
gotta,
fine. As long as you have a backup bottle.
No, I gotta make
do
some,
you have
some
a backup
crown.
Bottle?
Ooh. No.
Ooh.
No.
Crown.
No, and I don't have any. I'm gonna make some berry punch.
Okay.
Put some Kettle uh-huh. One vodka in it.
Go on. I like this combination. Anyway.
Okay, yeah.
We digress because drinks matter. No, I'm just saying that DDTs aren't finishing moves for me. Which is why I don't believe in the Dirty Deeds. And it's why I don't believe in one DDT. Maybe two. Maybe, I don't know. I don't know. Just not that way. It doesn't sit right with me.
Then WWE has... That's why, Steve Austin, I'm with you with all the things you've ever said. They bastardized DDT.
Yep.
To where DD don't even think it's a plausible finishing move anymore.
We've had this conversation before. They ruined
it. That is just sacrilege to me. That is just like
it's
the Bailey to Belly when people complain about that. It's like
that's not a finishing move either.
They've done the same thing with the super kicks, because I mean, yeah, the Usos, Tamina, they all do super kicks now, and
yeah,
those aren't their finishers anymore.
That's the problem. Not even just in like big WrestleMania matches, in your regular Raw and SmackDown matches, you have people kicking out of a kick straight to the ear. Why? How? And if you can kick out of that, you're going to kick out of a Bailey to Belly. And if you're not, that means your world doesn't make logical sense. So these are the rules that you set. You set the rules. So DDTs are not finishing moves anymore. You did it, not me.
Well, it is when Alexa Bliss is the champion and she's still got the belt. So you'll just have to learn to accept it.
Don't try to brag on her. You didn't even pick her for who you got.
That's another reason why I lost as well. Next, we had John Cena versus Roman Reigns.
Match of the night.
The crowd basically chose John Cena sucked a little bit less than Roman did, so John Cena got the crowd support.
And the fans got what they got.
It's a strange match, especially kind of started like real slow, like,
and him walking away. Like,
oh, right, man. He was kind of like stalling a little bit, where it should have been like Roman should have just went in there trying to be, you know, straight after his ass, like, hey, you've been talking all this smack, now it's time to put up.
And that was the part that I didn't understand. When John left, first of all, why did John leave? But when John left, why did Roman go get him? Because what, again, this is just me being petty. What I would have done was grabbed a microphone and been like, you see your fave running away, yes? You saw that, well, right? I want to run after him.
John was playing up the crowd with when they started with the John Cena sucks, and he was like, oh, so I suck? Okay, then, well, I'm out. And I mean, I get your point. Like, you know, come on, man.
Oh, is that why he left?
Yeah, he was playing up the crowd. The crowd was doing the John Cena sucks, and he was like, oh, so I suck? Okay, well then, I'm out. And so, you know,
That doesn't make sense, because for years he's been like, I suck? Yeah, it just gives me, like, it's weird. Yeah, no, he was just,
you know, doing his thing. And
that's weird.
Yeah, but I think they did a really good job of making Roman look as dominant as he's looked since the Shield broke up in the early part of the match, which is like his slow, methodical beatdown of Cena, because he dominated Cena for the first half, maybe even three quarters of the match, and then it was kind of like one of those games, almost an Atlanta Falcons of the Super Bowl, where he dominated it and then almost gave it up at the end, but he actually salvaged it.
Yeah. There was that Super Cena moment. Like,
kicking out of like 37 AAs.
Yeah.
I loved it.
We got the birth of Super Roman in this match, as Roman kicks out of the double AA. He kicks out of the... then he kicked out of the Avalanche AA. And of course, John Cena, he got out of the STFU. And John Cena was basically, he didn't have nothing left. And he got caught in one of these moments where he's trying to contemplate, like, what the hell else am I going to do? As Roman hits him with the Superman punch, then gives him the spear. And Roman Reigns is your winner.
But again, it was only one in-ring spear. Like, he did the spear on the table, but then John hit him with, like, four more AAs after that. And then he gives him one more spear, and that's it?
Well,
that's it, because you're an old man. You know, you know what I found out about John Cena? And probably everybody else already knew that, but I didn't know that. Did y'all know he has a trailer, and he don't be in the locker room at all?
Oh, yeah, he's got a bus.
He's in the bus. And I was like...
Yeah, Roman mentioned the bus, but yeah, that's
this.
That's
you too good to be in the locker room while you acting like you some kind of senior statesman. And Kane ain't ever be on a bus.
And Roman talked that about him on the mic. Well, that night that John wasn't there, about how he did the first time, how John's on the bus and everything else. But
John
talked all that about Rocky.
That's crazy.
His separate dressing room and everything else. He got a bus.
A whole bus. Not even like, I don't want to be in the same room with you. Like, I want to be 300 yards from you all. The only reason why I know that, because I didn't hear it when Roman did it. I was listening to your favorite podcast, favorite wrestling podcast, and Cody mentioned it, and I was like, he's got his own bus? What kind of fucking weirdo has their own bus?
The weirdo that can afford to put gas in it and have it travel around the country for him.
The kind that wants to marry somebody but doesn't want them to have power of attorney.
He don't want to marry that girl. He just wants to shut the hell up.
The kind that made her sign a 75-page contract when they started dating. That's the kind.
The fact that Nikki was like, oh yeah, I'll sign your 75-page contract instead of saying, can we go to counseling? By we, I mean you, because something's clearly not right here. There's something wrong with you. Who even has 75 pages of thoughts? Like, who? What? I couldn't come up with 75 things I needed to do if I was writing in 72 font. Like, what?
That was the greatest. Who even having 75 pages of thoughts?
I'm serious. Was it like front and back? Like, what are we talking about right now? 75 pages? How much money did your first wife take from you? What?
Yeah, he's definitely scarred.
What did she do to him? I thought he did something wrong, but she must have done something awful.
She got better lawyers than him.
Well, sorry, Charlie.
That's what she did.
Because he is, like, traumatized. But anyway, yeah, fuck John Cena. All right. No shade. I just don't like him.
He's
weird.
After Roman leaves, John Cena has a long moment in the ring, kind of soaking everything in. He said this was the same arena where he won his first WWE title and jumped in the crowd, so he was just kind of being reflective and milking the moment. So once Cena leaves, we go to the back. The Miz confronts Kurt Angle about having Roman Reigns be his guest on Miz TV on Monday Night Raw to ask the hard-hitting questions, and Kurt Angle agrees. Then we move into our cruiserweight title match as we have the king of the cruiserweights, Neville, versus Enzo. After Neville was dominating this match and doing anything he wanted with the less talented Enzo hits Neville with a low blow, rolls Neville up, gets to 1-2-3, and through heel tactics, Enzo Amore has his first ever championship in professional wrestling, as he is your new cruiserweight champion.
That's a hell of a way to get buried. Like, he got all of that heat and everything else, got kicked down to 205 Live, which I called back in February. I said that they should put Enzo on that show just to give the show a little bit of a name recognition push. But yeah, that's a hell of a way to get buried and still get a strap put on you, your first strap ever.
Yeah, he's been humiliated and it gets even worse. He's still somehow failing upward. Yeah. So, I mean, you know, what can you say?
Enzo's the Lane Kiffin of WWE. That man fails into better jobs. Now I don't get it. And that's Enzo.
You don't get it. Isn't Enzo Caucasian? Like, what?
I mean, well, I know that, but like half, you know, most of wrestling is Caucasian.
I mean, you know.
No.
You know. Caucasian magic. I don't, you know.
Okay. Next up, the main event of the evening, as the monster among men, Braun Strowman, faced off against the beast incarnate, Brock Lesnar, for the Universal title. After kicking out of the running power slam that leaves Strowman kind of in awe, Brock scoops up Braun in the F5, and Brock Lesnar gets the pin and retained the Universal title. Now, here's a match where people are like, oh, just one F5? That's all you need. See, here's where WWE has messed up y'all's minds. WrestleMania 17, up until then, you get hit with a Stone Cold Stunner, you're done. You get hit with the Rock Bottom, you're done. Didn't matter who you were, how big you were, how strong you were, whatever, you was done. those two gentlemen wrestled each other, and it was the first time we'd ever seen somebody kick out of Stone Cold Stunner, somebody kick out of the Rock Bottom. So it made that match that much greater because of the near falls. Well, all of a sudden, somehow, that just became the formula for every WWE match. Oh, you got to kick out of two finishers before people believe that you can get a finish. Now, when they're trying to go back to, hey, you know what? These finishers are finishers, meaning you only need it once. DDT, one. F5, one. Spear, one. You don't need three or four of them to beat somebody because it's your finisher. So I think they're trying to... I think they're trying to put the emphasis back on the finishers being strong. It's just going to take as long as it took for y'all to get conditioned that, oh, a DDT is not a finishing move anymore. It's going to take just as much time for them that, you know, one move over before everybody gets it back into their mind that, oh, okay, when he hits the finisher, the match is going to be over.
And I get that. But when you have, in the same pay-per-view, Roman kicking out of 12 AAs, and in the same match, Brock kicked out of all of Braun's running power slams, you kind of can't make that argument that they're trying to make finishers great again.
Because Vince has his hands on everything. Roman is a special case. He's trying to build Roman up.
I get that was the outlier, but still, yeah. Like, if it was two AAs, then I would have got it. But he kicked out of 35 AAs.
Super Roman. Like I said, you saw the birth of Super Roman. So now you're going to see that probably happen a lot more just for Roman Reigns, though. And you might see for everybody else, they won and done. But Roman is a special case because, you know, he's the investment. He's the future.
Well, why couldn't they invest in some new music and some new clothes? Like they had the perfect opportunity to do all of that when he did that 30-day bid. They could have brought him back during that pay-per-view because he didn't win that match. So they could have brought him back with a new music, new gear. Could have tested it on the road show, the house shows that he did that week, and then boom. So when we get this Shield reunion, we can actually, you know, the Shield music means something.
Yeah, it's going to be an interesting case here coming up. What looks like where we're headed towards our TLC. So we'll jump into Monday Night Raw. Of course, the show starts off with Miz TV and Roman in the ring. Two men go back and forth, of course. Promo war, and Miz is lighting, Roman up. But Roman, it seems relaxed. He's got, you know, he doesn't seem uptight. Seems a lot more him being himself. So, you know, he didn't seem to get washed in this promo war. Seemed to kind of hold his own. But anyway, all the talking leads to a challenge. Roman says, you know, he wants to fight the Miz tonight. The Miz was like, whoa, player, I just came out here to talk. Well, do no fighting. That's kind of what we want to do. So he leaves the ring with Axel and Bo Dallas, and then, of course, Kurt Angle comes down, and he makes a match later on tonight between Roman and The Miz. Then Kurt also makes a match between Matt Hardy and Jason Jordan versus Bo Dallas and Curtis Axel. And guess when it started? Right now. So we get Jason Jordan and Matt Hardy versus Bo Dallas and Kurt Axel. Jordan hits the shoulder block into the corner, then gives Axel an overhead belly-to-belly. Matt Hardy gives Bo Dallas a twist of fate, and Jason Jordan and Matt Hardy get the win. I am not a big fan of the Mr. Raj losing. I would like to see them actually win some matches because I think it gives them more credibility to actually being, you know, the Miz's henchmen. At least they're dangerous and capable. Right now, they don't seem dangerous or capable. So,
they should have won that.
Give them some more wins here.
They need more work too, but they definitely need some credibility because they didn't have credibility as singles wrestlers. So you put them together as a team, and right now they have no credibility whatsoever.
Right. So we get Elias versus Apollo Crews again, a rematch from the pre-show. And we get the same outcome as Elias gets the win with the drift away. But in doing so, while he was down on the Apollo Crews had took the action down to the floor, Apollo Crews was getting the best of Elias. And out of desperation, Elias kicked Titus in the hamstring or the knee. And then, of course, you know, to get back in the ring, Elias hits the drift away. And after the match, Titus O'Neil jumps in the ring and gives Elias Sampson some business. So it's the first time we've seen Titus get really physical in a long time. So we don't know where this is going to lead, but maybe, you know, Titus O'Neil is going to stop being the manager and the guy in the suit as Titus Worldwide and then put the trunks back on. So we'll see where that leads.
Maybe, hopefully, Titus Worldwide, like the entire entity, goes heel.
Maybe. So the legend at the bank, Curt Hawkins, comes out. He says, tonight is the night. He's going to end his losing streak. And all of a sudden, Braun comes out. Curt Hawkins tries to run away, but Braun runs and tracks him down through the crowd.
Curtis got hawked.
Braun chokeslams Curt Hawkins through a table. Then he throws him up by one arm up on the ramp. Then Braun gives Curt Hawkins the running power slam through the whole LED board.
Vince ain't got no money for pyro, but they got money to replace these LED boards every other week.
And now Curt Hawkins maybe needed an emergency bacchiotomy as he was broken in half. So Braun comes down to the ring. He says he's not leaving until somebody comes out and gives him a real fight. DeeDee's fave, the lunatic fringe, Dean Ambrose comes. He walks over the corpse that is Curtis Hawkins, looks at him, shakes his head like, damn, hate it had to be you. And he runs his ass down there to jump on Braun Strowman. Now, I know DeeDee Jonet probably stood up and was disappointed and disgusted when she first saw Dean. But then when she realized that he was probably going to get the same treatment that Curt Hawkins got or worse, I'm pretty sure you like started to perk up on the inside.
Imagine the Grinch gif with a smile. That. Just that.
Of course, Braun Strowman is just tossing Dean Ambrose all over the place. Dean is, you know, trying to lunatic up and be the crazy Dean and come back for more and don't stay down. Dean gets a little bit of an upper hand going. He's building up some steam. He goes for the standing elbow drop off the top. He gets caught by Strowman in the running power slam, and Braun gets the win. So. Yay. He didn't break him in half, but he at least beat him down for you pretty good.
It was hurtful. Just a little violent. That's all I needed.
Enzo's backstage. He walks up on Kurt Angle, and he says that there needs to be a championship celebration for him winning the title last night. Kurt Angle agrees, and we will get that later on tonight. So now Seth and Dean are in the back, where Seth wants Dean to stop. Wants Dean to start taking less risks because his foolish actions now involve him because they're the tag team champions. Dean says that Seth needs to be less calculating and be more risky and, you know, switch it up a little bit. Well, Seth says, okay, well, here's something that's risky. I'm going to face Braun Strowman next Monday night. But first...
Silly.
Can I just state... how bad the tag team division is right now on Raw to where you have the tag team champs doing squash matches against Braun Strowman. Like, not even as a tag team, but individually, and they're the champs. Like, that's how shallow this tag team division is on Raw, and they just need everybody to be healthy. They just need everybody to be healthy and get this tag team division strong again, because this is just, like, terrible. You're risking your champs because, you know, Seth knees, you know, he's one more knee injury away from being Derrick Rose. Oh. So, you know, I don't know if he survives a match with Braun Strowman.
Well, what happened to the Raw Tag Team Division was the Revival not being able to stay healthy. The Hardy Boys, you know, now not being able to stay healthy. The Good Brothers, nobody cares about them.
Boom. That's,
you know,
the one.
So, you know, there's three or four possible tag teams that could have been in this mix, but, you know, circumstances have kind of dictated it where, you know, it's a real shallow pool right now. So they've just had some injuries and some, you know, some guys not as over as they thought they would be. This kind of hindered them.
Good Brothers would be over if they were in the Ballet Club, but, you know.
The Raw Women's Champion, Alexa Bliss, comes down to cut a promo on her win last night. Alexa says that she's cleaned out the women's division. There's no more challengers for her to face. She's not afraid of Asuka either.
That's a lie.
That's when Mickie James comes out. Mickie and Alexa have a promo battle, in which Alexa calls Mickie James old, and Mickie slaps Alexa twice, then gives Alexa the chick kick. Alexa rolls out of the ring, skirts to the back, and Mickie James stands tall.
They ain't had no promo battle. Mickie was sassy. She was too spicy for the pepper on that mic.
She was like, tell them what you said about me.
Right.
Tell
she was super ethnic. Super ethnic on that mic. And she had the yams out.
Yes, she's definitely the the mascot for thick thighs save lives.
She had them out, boy. Them like that Vernon Davis, them yams. Sweet potato yams. That she had them things out, boy, and she was all on that mic. Spicy.
So that gives us our Seth Rollins versus Sheamus match. Rollins gets the win via the Snowmaker / Kingslayer. He was being an asshole as Cesaro came out with Sheamus back in the 007 suit. And Seth Rollins was mocking him, like, you know, pointing to his teeth, pointing to his mouth. Just awful. Just bad.
Rude. Just mean.
Right.
Not nice at all.
We have what we think is going to be a heartfelt moment as Finn and Goldust are backstage. As you know, Finn came and helped out Goldust a couple of weeks ago when Bray Wyatt was trying to take off his makeup. And so, you know, they're having a little conversation, and Finn thinks everything's all good. And then Goldust rocked the snot box with a hard left and knocked Finn down and basically challenged him to a match later on tonight. So nobody saw that coming.
I did.
Oh, okay. Clairvoyancy over there.
I told you I'm magical. I told you I'm magical. When I saw them in the back, I was like, and then he was like, why you help me? And I was like, he sound like an angry black woman. He gonna hit him. I knew it.
So we have Roman Reigns versus The Miz. Roman overcomes all the antics of the Miztourage to hit a Superman punch, and he gets the win. After the match, the Miztourage attack Roman, and they beat him down not once, but twice, and had the crowd chanting for the Shield. Dean and Seth were nowhere to be found, and I think that the Miztourage might have actually got Roman's sympathy with the crowd.
I don't think it was sympathy so much as the crowd. They're ready for the reunion. Like, they're ready for the full reunion. The wheels have been set in motion. The Miz brought up the Shield during Miz TV. They did the Shield pose. Dean and Seth are already together. Everybody sees the writing on the wall. I'm just glad that they didn't pull the trigger this early. Because I feel like they pulled the trigger on everything too early now, and I felt like they were going to mess it up, but I hope they wait until TLC.
I think that's what's going to happen. We're still, you know, about a month away from that, so we got a lot of story to get through before now and then, but yeah, definitely the writing's on the wall, so it'll be interesting to see how the crowd reacts to it, because I mean, individually they don't like Roman, but collectively in the Shield, he's a fan fave. It's the most bipolar thing ever.
it's when he was in the Shield and didn't have to cut promos and just had to beat people up and wasn't getting the super mega, you know, you're the chosen one push, then yeah, you know, everybody loved him, because who doesn't love the badass in every faction? And then they broke up and he got the super mega man push, and everybody was like, oh, pump the brakes, buddy. Like, you know, you were just a muscle. You ain't world champion. Get on the mic. We gonna pay to come see you every week. Material just yet. You know, we gotta care about you. We don't care about you yet. So, and then the Daniel Bryan coming back when he did, you know, that kind of messed that up. But I mean, I get it. I'm down with Roman secretly. Secretly, I don't stand for him on Twitter, but you know, I cheer for him.
So we get Finn Balor versus Goldust. Significant here, Didi, chime in here on the Fashion Cast. Did you like the cool gray that Finn had on, or was that on the pay per view?
That was on the pay per view.
The blue okay. Shorts. They were nice though.
They were gray, but yeah, okay.
They were blue gray. Don't do all
blue
that.
Gray. Yeah, there you go.
I'm a woman. I know my colors.
So would you prefer him go to that rather than the black, or?
No. Actually, no. I like black better.
Okay.
But the blue's a nice option. It's cute. It gives it a... Ooh, my 600-pound wife is on. Yeah, it gives it a different aesthetic. But, you know, with the leather jacket, the black hair. I need black trunks. But I don't mind the blue.
Okay. Well, Finn hits his three moves of doom: sling blade, shotgun dropkick, and the ultimate Kevin Sullivan foot stomp, and he gets the win over Goldust. As he's in the ring, the lights go down. Of course, everybody pulls out their cell phones, lights up the arena, and then you hear little kids singing, I got the whole world.
Black kids.
In his hands, he's got the whole wide world. In his hands. We don't see Bray. We just hear the singing. And then
I just want to note that those were little black kids singing that song. It matters.
It did sound a little ethnic. A little soulful.
Yeah. Sounded like Louisiana. You the black know, parts.
I'm up on Finn, and you know, it's mostly due to his entrance, because in the ring, all he does is those missile drop kicks. Outside the ring, all he does is missile drop kicks. He'll throw in a sling blade, and then it's coup de grace. But all he does is kick people with both feet at the same time.
Because he's got feet of fury.
I need him to do, but he kicks them with both at the same time. He just flies around the ring kicking.
Well, he's little. He can't kick on one foot. You got to get two. Put some power behind it.
But that's why I think they're like forcing him to be, you know, a 190 pound. Universal champion, and it just is like, man, he really does not have the moveset or the strength to be in the ring with these guys.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure Vince didn't, you know, he doesn't really warm up to people who get injured, and I think he sees Finn the same way he sees Sasha. As I don't know why the crowd's so into him, because they small and they can't stay healthy.
So well, to be fair, Seth was ending everybody's career at that point in time. Like, that was more of a Seth thing than it was a Finn thing.
Speaking of the Boss Bay, Sasha Banks and Bayley are backstage. They're lamenting on how close they were to winning the title at No Mercy. But, of course, they, you know, came up short. And now they got to kind of get together, get back on the same page as they have a tag team match. Versus Nia and Emma. So we get to the match. Bayley gives Emma the belly to belly, and Sasha Banks and Bayley, they get the win. So one time for Huggy Cakes and Boss Bay. Still waiting on the turn though. Every time I see them together, I'm just waiting for Sasha to just clock her in the back of the head. Maybe we'll get, like, during the match, they teased it, You know, Bayley was going for a cover. Sasha stomped her in the stomach, pulled her off. Sasha had the bank statement. Then Bayley came in, gave her a drop kick to the face, you know, got her off. So, you know, they kind of had the, you know, little interplay there in the match. So maybe it's coming, and they both need it because, man, did y'all hear how Sasha Banks didn't get no pop when she came out?
None. They're just like, oh, it's the chick who can't keep the strap on her. Great.
You know what I did notice? On Snoop's little commercial for the game, mm-hmm. they took out that line about Sasha Banks.
Well, I think that every commercial except for the one that they showed on No Mercy has been kind of the shorter version of it. The one on No Mercy was like the full length, mm-hmm. like minute and a half version.
Yeah, I just noticed yeah. that some people made the cut and some didn't. That's all.
Yeah.
I was the same way. You're kind of waiting for that Sasha turn on Bayley. I was waiting for that with Nia and Alexa. Like, I was waiting for that Diesel Shawn Michaels moment, and they didn't give it to us, and I'm a little disappointed in that.
Nia Jax is so confident right now. She's got the crowd behind her. The crowd is into what she's doing. She's really just, you know, been more confident in ring. She's, you know, being the big monster that we all thought that she could be, and I'm just happy to see it. I don't know.
No, I am too. Like, I'm happy where she is right now. I just, right. that moment between them, you know, I was kind of waiting for that, and they kind of just...
It seems like they're slow playing a lot of the stuff yeah. in women's division, so maybe that's a good thing, that they're not giving us everything so fast right away. So, you know, maybe this will lead up to something for, like, a Survivor Series or a bigger pay-per-view show where some of this stuff in the women's division will come to a head. Or TLC, excuse me, because Survivor Series is going to be... I don't know if it's going to be a joint one or not, but it should be. So, yeah, Survivor Series may be where we get kind of these bigger, high-profile turns and matches out of the women's division. So now we get to our main event segment, and this is the Enzo Amore Championship Celebration. You know, he's out there, he's lamenting, you know, how he won the title, how he's bringing, you know, the juice to 205 Live. He's, you know, out here got, you know, making money off of all this merch, you know, just being Enzo. The whole 205 live roster comes out on stage, and they're just kind of looking at him, and he starts cutting promos on those guys, running those guys down. And then, of course, Neville comes out. Neville and Enzo have a little promo battle, which goes back and forth. Neville comes down to the ring, and he wrecks Enzo while the rest of the division stood up on top of the ramp. During the interaction earlier with Kurt Angle, Enzo had a clause made that said, hey, if anybody touches me during my celebration, they can no longer get a title shot. So that goes for Neville or Cedric Alexander or Drew Gulak. So, in essence, Neville has rescinded his chance at a rematch against Enzo by coming down, beating the brakes off of him, giving him the red arrow, and leaving him for dead. So, Monday Night Raw ends for us on television, but it was still going on in the arena and on WWE.com. As Enzo just takes the red arrow and he's laid out in the ring, and all the cruiserweights are, you know, making their way down to the ringside, Braun Strowman's music hits. Braun runs down the ring, scoops up the carcass that is Enzo, punches him around a little bit, then he does a lap around the ring, gives him the big power slam. The crowd is chanting, one more time. One more time. Braun gets out of the ring and basically says to the whole Cruiserweight division, he's all yours. So all the members of the Cruiserweight division jump in the ring, put Enzo in the middle of the circle, and they basically treat him like a human pinata. Everybody gets a hit. Then they start pulling out everybody's finisher on him. They airplane spin Brian Kendrick and Drew Gulak airplane spin him. Cedric Alexander gives him a lung blower. Grand Metalik and someone, I think it might have been Noam Dar, gave him double super kicks. I mean, they just beat Enzo to death. I don't know why that didn't show up, why that wasn't the end of the show. But anyway, just beat the trash out of Enzo, left him laying in the middle of the ring, and the whole 205 division, you know, got their licks in on Enzo, and that was how Monday Night Raw ended. So did you see that ending part, that WWE.com part? Did you actually see that?
No, I haven't seen it.
Oh, yeah, you got to go back and watch that. They just treated that man so bad. Like, Vince really don't like this man. So that was your Monday Night Raw. It was a pretty decent Monday Night Raw. That last hour was a little rough. I thought the Roman segment with the Miz, the talking part, was real good. Alexa and Mickey James, that was a really good segment. The Roman and Miz match was actually a really good match, even with all the little interference from the Miz derives and whatnot. Kurt Hawkins, that, you know, he did what he did, and he was very entertaining for getting his ass beat. So, you know, there's a pretty good spots in this Monday Night Raw. Not a bad show.
I mean, the Roman Miz thing, and especially with the Miz Taraj doing the Shield thing after the beatdown, they could have rolled credits right there, and I would have been fine. I felt like that should have been, we should have gone off, they should have gone off air with that imagery of the Miz Taraj doing the Shield fist bump over Roman's body, but that's just how I feel about it.
Right. So, that was Monday Night Raw, and now we'll turn it over to Didi Jonet, because hash to the tag, SmackDown matters.
That's right, that's right. This week, SmackDown comes from Glendale, Arizona, the Gila River Arena, because we just name any old thing arenas nowadays. So, the things, they happen, Kevin Owens, Shane McMahon get a recap of their storyline. Kevin comes out. He said he was called a coward for not showing up last week, but he wonders where Shane is now that he's in the ring. He says that Shane's not a coward. He's smart. And he respects Vince McMahon. So imagine what he's going to do at Hell in a Cell to somebody he doesn't respect. This brings out Sammy. He says Kevin has lost complete control. Obviously, you snapped. He wants to talk some sense into Kevin, snap out of all this foolishness. Kevin says he's perfectly fine. And Sammy is really out there because Kevin has outshined him once again. He says he runs down all his accomplishments, being IC champion twice, Universal champion, and US title, winning that at WrestleMania while Sammy watched in the back. And he's going to main event Hell in a Cell and make Shane regret ever bringing him to SmackDown. Owens says, what have you ever done in your life, not just your career, that has had the impact his head had with Vince's skull? Zayn says Owens takes every cheap shot he can and cuts every corner to accomplish what he wants. And he says the day will come and he will do things the right way. And then Sammy calls Kevin a giant piece of trash. Then they drop their mics like they about to fight. Daniel Bryan comes in to interrupt, and he says he doesn't know Shane's going to be there, so what he'll do is he'll make a match for Sammy and Kevin tonight. Later on, there's going to be a Pride of Bulgaria celebration for Rusev, but the next match is Baron Corbin versus Ty Dillinger. Baron Corbin's theme song has music lyrics now. I don't know if that's better or worse. Whatever. AJ's on commentary. Baron's distracted by AJ. Ty dumps him out of the ring. They go to commercial. They come back, blah, blah, blah. And then Baron wins by count out. So,
yeah, the perfect 10 couldn't beat the 10 and got counted out.
Oh, that's so sad. So what had happened was Ty was in control, but Baron smacked water into AJ's face at the desk. AJ was about to go after him, but Baron shoved Ty into AJ. They fell over the announce table, and that's why he didn't beat the 10 count. That's what had happened. Then Baron challenges AJ to a U.S. title match at Hell in a Cell, And he says he'll win without taking any shortcuts. And then it's made official and blah, blah, blah. Did we care? Did we not care?
I didn't care.
Me either.
One bit. I don't care about anything that Baron Corbin does. I don't care about him as a staff, record label, or as a crew. I just want him to be buried with all of that heat that he had. I just want him to be gone. But, you know, he's kind of tall and kind of got some weight on him. So, you know, Vince isn't going to completely bury him because we all know Vince has a type.
Mm-hmm. Tall, bulky, no hairline, you know.
That was shade.
Yeah, it was.
And it was unnecessary.
It was accurate, though.
I mean, I didn't say it wasn't. I just said it was unnecessary.
It's the best kind when it's true. It's so nice. Anyway, Jinder Mahal has a promo. He says he may have gone too far last week with his comments, the Nakamura comments. And he said Nakamura is a worthy contender, so he wanted to compliment him this week. So then he posts photos of Nakamura, and then the Singh brothers are there laughing. But the last photo is not a photo. Instead, Nakamura is standing in front of the camera, and it looks like a photo, but then he starts moving, and then the crowd is like, ooh! So Nakamura is like, yeah, bitch, I'm here. The lights dim, music hits, it's lit. The Singh brothers attack Nakamura, he fights them off. Mahal tries to catch him off guard. Nakamura fights back. The Singh brothers attack again, but he fought them off again and then gave Mahal a Kinshasa. Then they bail as Nakamura poses like Michael Jackson of Tokyo that he is. And that's it.
Nakamura needed to get some get back after the 3 weeks of racism that Jinder was spewing. So yeah, I liked it. It was good. You know, a good lead in to him, you know, getting a chance to finally put his hands on Jinder and the Singh brothers. I love how they were all coordinated too. They all almost had the same outfit on this week.
Oh, did they?
Yeah.
I didn't notice.
Yeah, they had
the Singhs did, or all of them did?
That Jinder had on the suit with the blue shirt, and the Singhs had on the slacks with the blue shirt.
Oh, cute. That's precious.
I love the Singh brothers. They're the best.
Are they really brothers? No.
Yes. Yeah, they're brothers.
But they're not twins.
They're not twins, no.
They're just brothers.
They're just brothers.
They're actually brothers?
That's not really fun.
It's like Harv and Sir, how was her last name? They're like really brothers, though. Yeah. They were in the Cruiserweight Classic. If you go back and watch, they're in the very first edition of the very first night of the Cruiserweight Classic, and they have the big package.
Oh, they're little.
Oh, I mean, you can't tell.
5'10" and 5'9", 159 and 144. Oh, they're delicate. No wonder that's Randy used to throw them around like
that. That's the reason why Randy be tossing them to the moon.
Like a damn frisbee. Oh, that makes all the sense now. Okay. Next, the Usos versus the Hype Bros. The New Day are watching the match from the front row with popcorn. Mogo blind tags himself in, which leads to an argument with Zach. One of the Usos, I'm assuming it's Jimmy, I don't know why, pushed Mojo into Zach, who was sitting on the top rope, and then Zach fell off the apron. It looked kind of violent. The Usos told the New Day that they belonged in the crowd with the rest of the chumps and said they would become 5-time champs at Hell in a Cell. Biggie pulls a microphone out of his popcorn bucket. New Day says they didn't want to just defend the belts at Hell in a Cell. They wanted to do it inside Hell in a Cell. And so that's lit. For some reason, it's not in the notes, but the Usos beat the Hype Bros. Yeah, should be fairly obvious.
Top rope splash did old Mojo Rawley in. What do you think about Zack Ryder's beard, though?
A snack.
Definitely beard goals if you're in the beard gang. Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, that's nice. Not patchy. It's great.
I mean, it's not goals for me because I have a real beard.
You have a wonderful beard, yes, but everything's not about you. Because you're what? You're married. And what? Zach ain't. Or is he? Everybody married. So let's find out.
Who knows?
This is a continuation of last week's.
The tag team Hell in a Cell match should be, I think it's going to be the first time they've ever had a tag team Hell in a Cell match.
Yeah.
So this should be fun.
It'll be the first time.
They have a dope commercial promoting this match that is like the new Hell in a Cell trailer. And it's just all their matches, the big high spots from their two previous matches. And then you just hear the holy sh, and then it like cuts to a different scene. You see a big move, and you hear the crowd go, holy sh, and then it switches to another, you know. Mm-hmm. And then the last thing is like, you know, it shows both teams, and then like the Hell in a Cell comes in front of them. Yeah, it's a pretty dope commercial.
That sounds lit.
One move that they did a couple, maybe the last pay-per-view, last SmackDown pay-per-view that they haven't done since, and I really want them to do it again, is the alley-oops, where one of the Usos threw, I think it was Kofi, out of the ring, and the other one caught him in the air and did a Samoan drop onto the floor, and they call it the alley-oops. And that move is so hard, and I want to see that again. And I don't know how they're going to make that work, but we need that. Like, that move, I want that move on 2K18.
Well, like, there's
like the streets of, need that.
There's plenty of room around the Hell in a Cell.
Well,
so,
yeah, that
you
is
know,
true.
On the
they
outside,
got, they
so,
got a,
so they can do
they got
it.
Some room.
Yeah, they can do it. Come on, let's get to that celebration.
All right. Pride of Bulgaria celebration. Aiden English is there in a tux. As the master of ceremonies. You obviously liked it.
I loved it. I love how they've been using Aiden English the last couple of weeks. Ever since he wrestled Randy Orton, and like they let him actually have a kind of fair match with Randy, and he backdropped him on the table, I've been like, Aiden English? Yeah, I fucks with you, man.
Yeah, I do too. But, you know, he's a ginger, so of course I do. He introduces Rusev. He sings the national anthem of Bulgaria. I guess it's not like we know the difference, but that's what it's purported to be. The mayor of Rusev's hometown of Plovdiv was in the ring and honored Rusev by declaring whatever day that was, Rusev Day, and presented him with the key to the city, not the city that they're in, but Plovdiv. So then he calls Rusev a great hero, their great hero and their protector. Rusev plays the clip of him beating up Randy Orton, says he tore the fangs out of the Viper, calls Orton a predator and a legend killer, but now Rusev is the new predator, and he destroyed the legend of the legend killer, and SmackDown is his jungle now. Then English sings another song in honor of Rusev Day when, out of nowhere, Orton appears and gives Aiden and Rusev RKOs. Orton ruined Rusev Day because he ruins everything.
It's Rusev Day.
Like, it still blows my mind to this day that Aiden English is a Guerrero. Like, through
excuse
marriage.
Me?
Yeah, he married Eddie's daughter. So he's Eddie's
son-in-law.
So he's
married, too. It's great. Everybody's married.
Oh, speaking of which.
I can actually see him married to. Yeah, that makes sense to me.
I still don't see it. Every time he's in the ring, I'm just like, I can't believe this man is Eddie Guerrero's son-in-law. But
he's pale. He's awfully pale.
But going back a little bit, Didi, for you, remember the Brie Bella Stephanie McMahon feud?
Yes.
And Stephanie brought in Daniel Bryan's alleged physical therapist and said that Daniel had an affair with her.
No, that's great.
Yeah, well, the person that played that physical therapist, that's who Zack Ryder's currently dating.
Oh, okay.
So just for you, for that, her ring name is Lana Laurel Van Ness. Van Ness.
Yeah, I saw it on the Wikipedia.
Yeah.
She's a nobody. No, let me stop. Let me stop. Because I used to talk shit about Shimmer, and then they stopped following me. So let me be nice. I don't really care that they stopped following me because they don't exist. But you got to be nice about these sort of things. Anyways, you know, backstage, Daniel tells Sammy that Shane landed. He's on his way. He figures Shane is going to go after Owens. And so Sammy's like, don't let him, blah, blah, blah. He wants to have Owens inside Hell in a Cell and says, can he have a match with Kevin that night? And he says, Brian says he'll talk to Shane. Then Orton bumps into Renee Young backstage and asks her to tell Rusev that he'll see him at Hell in a Cell. And he's, who cares? Anyway, Charlotte Flair versus Carmella. Things happen, but there's a distraction, and Charlotte wins with a big boot. Then Natty comes out, tells Charlotte she's happy that her dad's all better and all that, but now that means he can watch Charlotte fail. And then there's a flashback of John Cena, which you know I don't care about. Fashion Files returns next week.
About time.
I know, right? And then the Okay, so everybody knows that I don't write these notes, right? So these notes say that the Undertaker's dong went off. If I wrote them, I would say gong with a G, but you know, you do you, writer, you do you. Jesus, dong. What is wrong with you people? Anyway, his music comes out. I'm fooled for a while because I have horrible eyesight, but it's not The Undertaker. He hasn't come out of semi-retirement. Instead, it is Dolph Ziggler. Tom Phillips is like me, and he's like, what the hell? And Corey Graves is like, no, that's Ziggler. And Phillips is like, oh, man, because who wants to see Dolph?
He was going down the aisle too fast. That should have been your first clue.
Yeah, I wasn't going to look at
Not an Undertaker all, don't get to the ring right. in 30 seconds.
Correct. And then he's not tall enough. He's right. Not he broad needed some shoulder stilts. Enough. Like, the aesthetic wasn't quite there, but I was just like, hat and I don't know what you would call it, trench coat? I was like, oh, mm-hmm. No, what's he doing here? And then I think I heard Corey, and I was like, oh, and then I was like, oh, yeah, that ain't him. And I was like, but that's what's funny, because Ziggler has been doing this for weeks, and it still didn't occur to me that this was him. Maybe that tells you something. So, Bobby, with the best music in the business, interrupts. That's Bobby Roode. He calls Ziggler an incredible competitor, but also a hypocrite. He wants Ziggler to back up his claim as the greatest in-ring performer in history and challenges him to a match at Hell in a Cell. Ziggler tells the crowd to shut up because they're chanting yes. And he says he said that Bobby is everything that's wrong with the WWE, accepts the match, says that Bobby will rest in peace, but Roode stops him in the middle and says, Hell in a Cell will be what? Glorious. Da-da-da-da-da-da. Yes, my body is ready. Next, your main event of the night, Kevin Owens versus Sammy of the Names.
You have to refer to them as with their real
Peter,
names.
Peter and the Chicken.
Yeah. Yes, thank you.
Yes, Peter Griffin and the Chicken. Absolutely. So they start punching each other. Kevin's is bigger, so of course Kevin does better punches. He drives Sammy's head into the barricade. Sammy comes back with a couple of clotheslines. Blah, 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 blah. During the break, Sammy hit a vertical suplex on the ring apron. Then Owens nails a super kick for a two count. Sammy comes back with a tornado DDT, but DDTs don't get the win. Kevin counters a hell of a kick with another super kick. Sammy countered a pop-up powerbomb into a blue thunderbomb. Blue thunderbombs don't get the pin, so that's a two count. Sammy hits a flip dive, tries for a jumping DDT through the ropes, but Owens hits him with another super kick. Then Kevin powerbombs Sammy onto the edge of the ring, and that would be about it. And that is when the referee checks on Sammy and calls for the bell. Medics run down to help Sammy. Owens takes a seat on the announce table to watch. Sammy tried to refuse help. Ken walk away by himself. The medics help him to his feet. As they carry him off, Kevin springs off the table and knocks Sammy and the medics down, much like what he did to Vincent Kennedy McMahon. Then Kevin grabs a steel chair, wraps it around Sammy's head. As even more officials try to stop him, Shane's music hits. He runs down, but Owens tosses Sammy, still with the chair around his head, into Shane. Then Kevin runs through the crowd as Shane is standing on the ring apron or the ring post and dares Kevin to come back. And then Kevin blows Shane a kiss from the crowd. And that is how your SmackDown for the week ended.
Shane McMahon was about an inch or two away from having to go see a dentist himself because that cheered leg almost caught him squaw in the mouth.
Sure did.
Yeah. I was disappointed I didn't get no Naomi.
Right. This week. That's what I was. Oh my God. They didn't give her a full intro in Vegas, and then she wasn't even on TV this week. And I'm just, I don't even care about what they do on Tuesday nights anymore.
Because it's Team Nebe over here all day. But this was a good fun. You know, SmackDown's always fun. It's so fast paced and moves so quick. And the storylines always advance, so I enjoyed this episode so much. I really liked Aiden English. Like I said, I am just over the moon with how they've used him the last few weeks. They've kind of found a role for him. I hope they keep him with Rusev, maybe make him Rusev's kind of default manager now, and they kind of run together and do some things. So
we also didn't get an advancement of Tamina and Lana's story this week.
If you do .com or YouTube, they basically had Lana doing the Tamina makeover in the back. Yeah. So, and there's a nice little Twitter exchange at like 3 a.m. between Naomi and Lana about, you know, Tamina don't need all that because she's already fierce and hot and all this stuff. So, yeah, that was a very interesting thing to see this morning, Wednesday morning on Twitter. So at this time, just want to let everybody know that this episode of the WrestleCast is sponsored by Amazon.com. You can go to CSPN.us, go to our webpage. While you're there, click on the banner that says support our podcast. When you click on that link, the drop-down box will then show all of our sponsors. Click on to Amazon. Do your shopping as you normally would for maybe a Halloween costume, birthday gift, early Christmas shopping. You know, this is kind of the baby shower season as well. So, you know, anything that you need in the world, you can buy off Amazon.com. And you can also support your favorite podcast here at the CSPN at the same time. Make your purchase as you normally would through CSPN, CSPN.us, Amazon.com. Some of your purchase comes back to us to help keep all the podcasts on the network free. So CSPN.us and Amazon.com, do it today. Next up, 205 Live. Real quick, Enzo comes out. They show the angle from Raw between Enzo and Neville. Then they show what happened to Enzo after Raw went off the air when he got beat up by Braun and the whole roster. And Didi, you'll appreciate that. After he got beat up, after they showed the clip and they came back to him live in the ring, mm-hmm. the whole crowd was chanting, "You deserve it." And so Enzo kind of, you know, thinking quick on his feet, ripped the belt off and held it up and said, "Yeah, you're right. I do deserve this title." So he kind of played with it well. Enzo states the clause about anybody who touches him will never get a title shot. And since everybody on the roster touched him, he's going to be the champion forever because nobody can get a title shot. So we get Akira Tozawa and Tony Nese. Akira Tozawa wins with the Atomic Senton Bomb. After the match, Drew Gulak, who was on commentary, has some words for Tozawa. Gulak says Tozawa is in violation of his rules to make 205 a better place. Gulak debuts his PowerPoint number 7, which is no celebrating. Gulak says he has a dream to make a Drewtopia, where ground-based athletes can thrive without celebration. Tozawa kicks Gulak to the floor, and then he does what? Celebrates. Enzo, he's limping backstage. He runs into Daivari. Daivari apologizes to him, and Enzo doesn't accept it. Daivari says that he fell victim to the mob mentality and basically is kissing up to Enzo. Daivari says last night was all Neville's idea, and Daivari still continues to try to butter him up, and he says he wants to watch Enzo's back. Enzo says that he needs to prove himself, and Daivari says, "We'll come out and be in my corner tonight with Neville," and Enzo agrees. Now we have TJP. He makes his way into the ring to face Lindsay Dorado. TJP, of course, you know, attacked Lindsay Dorado last week, so that's the reason for the match. Well, while Lindsay Dorado is coming out making his entrance, Rich Swann just comes out of the back at 1,000 miles an hour, runs past Lindsay Dorado, slides into the ring, and starts beating the hell out of TJP. They get in there, they're brawling a little bit, gets too hot for TJP. He bails out, and he has to escape through the crowd to get away from the rich homie. Swann, please say the homie. All right. Neville arrives. He says that he's heard that, he's been descending into madness since he lost the title. He said last night on Raw, he knew exactly what he was doing, and it was the best night of his life. He says he knows that he forfeited his title rematch, and he doesn't care. And he says if given the chance to do it again, he'll do it again and again and again. He tells Enzo to keep one eye open because he won't allow 205 Live to become to disintegrate with Enzo as champion. So we get Neville versus Daivari. Neville's looking for the Hemlock Rainmaker, but Neville counters out and locks in the rings and Neville, and he gets the win. After the match, Enzo attacks and beats down Neville with his crutch. Enzo continues the attack. He's talking trash while doing so. The refs come down, try to make the save, but Enzo keeps attacking him. They finally get Enzo to the back, and then he starts mockingly chanting towards Neville, "You deserve it." So that was 205 Live. Apparently, 205 Live had a lot of eyes on it this week, as you know, everybody was kind of interested to see what the next step was going to be. So, and one regard, moving Enzo over and giving him the title was mission accomplished, at least for one week. So we'll kind of see how things play out. I don't know if they're going to have like somebody from Raw or somebody from NXT or somebody like that come in, challenge Enzo, because, you know, with this clause that he got from Kurt Angle, technically there's nobody in the division that can, you know, get a title shot because they all beat him up. So it'll be interesting to see how they get him to his first title defense. Next up, NXT. At the start of the show, Steven Regal announces a four-way for the women's title. He says that that will be taking place at TakeOver Houston. He says that Kairi Sane, by winning the Mae Young Classic, is already in the match. And in 2 weeks, there will be qualifying matches to determine the three remaining contenders. Sandy comes out through the crowd. They cut a promo on the Undisputed. Eric Young says that later tonight, he's taking Adam Cole to the edge of sanity. We get Lars Sullivan versus Oney Lorcan. Lars hits a big clothesline, followed by the waistlock slam finisher, and he gets the win. After the bell, Lars appears ready to pounce on Oney again, but Danny Burch comes down. He makes the save. We get Kayla in the locker room. She does a promo with Ruby Riott on the Iconic wanting a rematch and why Nikki Cross came down to help her out of the blue a couple of weeks ago. We get Heavy Machinery versus Patrick Scott and Demetrius Bronson. Heavy Machinery wins with the trash compactor. Demetrius Bronson is apparently a guy who played in the NFL. He played for the Dolphins and the Falcons, they said. He has some very R-Truth looking ring gear. It looked like he was wearing a pair of dress slacks from Limbs, and he was wrestling in these joints. He's got to step his gear up. But he had a good look and pretty good height on his drop kicks. So, you know, there may be a little something with Demetrius Bronson. He may be somebody to keep your eye on. Steven Regal sees Johnny Wrestling outside the Performance Center, and he grants Johnny Wrestling a rematch with Cian Almas in 2 weeks. Then we get Roderick Strong promo on his title match next week against Drew McIntyre. We have Liv Morgan versus Vanessa Bourne. Liv Morgan wins with a lung blower. Real basic match. Liv Morgan showing off some skills. First time she's been back on NXT in a long time, so it's kind of good to see her. I like Vanessa Bourne. I think that she has a chance to be something. She's got a good look. She's pretty athletic, so there may be a chance for her later on, you know, once the women's division gets kind of reloaded and reset. Then we get a recap of the Aleister Black Velveteen Dream angle from last week, followed by Aleister Black promo from the Performance Center. Then we get a Fabian Aichner video package before Fabian Aichner wrestles Cassius Ohno. Cassius Ohno gets the hard-earned victory with the Cyclone Kick. Fabian Reitner is pretty good, though. He was in the Cruiserweight Classic, but he's put on some more weight, so now he's outside of the Cruiserweight division. He did this pretty cool. He ran, did a vertical jump to the top rope, and then springboarded off into a crossbody onto Cassius Ohno. That was pretty sick. And he did a couple of other cool kind of high-flying moves that looked pretty cool. So good showcase for Fabian Aichner, even though he did lose. Then Drew McIntyre, he's cutting a promo on the title match next week versus Roderick Strong. Then we get to our main event, Adam Cole versus Eric Young. Adam Cole cuts a promo before the match, basically announcing the arrival of the Undisputed, that they're here now, and they're here to take over NXT. Eric Young, once the match starts, Eric Young goes to the top, which causes Bobby Fish and Kyle O'Reilly to distract him. Killian Dane and Alexander Wolfe pull them off the mat, and then Eric Young does a crossbody off the top rope into the big, large crowd of humanity on the floor. When Eric Young gets back in the ring, he gets caught with a running, leaping, shining wizard by Adam Cole. Baby! And Adam Cole gets the win in his debut. And that was your NXT. A pretty good show. The main event could have been a little bit better, but it was still good to see Adam Cole in a WWE ring. It's kind of surreal, really. But so still building up towards, you know, what this is going to lead to. Hopefully it's going to be the British guys versus the ROH guys at some type of Survivor Series match. That's what we're all hoping for. Now we're going to move into our final review, Lucha Underground, as this is the first night of Ultima Lucha Tres, as we got Tejano versus Famous B. And if Famous B wins, Tejano has to join Infamous Incorporated. I really like the name. Hey, what you feel about that, Dee Dee?
Infamous Incorporated? I'm not mad at it. Yeah, I'm not mad at it at all.
I like that. Famous B tells Tejano that he couldn't beat him. He couldn't wrestle him or even beat him with a broken arm. So he made some calls to Dario Cueto. Dario Cueto said that he would let him acquire a partner to make this a true handicap match. So Famous B announces that his partner is Dr. Wagner Jr. Yeah. the action is getting hot and heavy. Brenda gets up on the ring apron. She plants a big old kiss on Tejano, which distracts him and allows Famous B to get the roll up with his foot on the ropes. And Famous B wins the match. And now Tejano will be joining Infamous Incorporated. Do you appreciate the heel tactics?
If you're not cheating, you're not trying. It's just the way this goes. I'm not mad at it.
All right. I love Famous B. I like that dude a lot. He trips me out whenever he's on my TV. I just think he is so entertaining.
I was very entertained by the way that Tejano threw him off the steps.
Yeah, he gave him a hip toss from about the 10th step.
It was amazing.
Then we get our main event of the evening. Dante Fox versus Killshot. Hell of War.
This is perfect name for it.
Yes, this is basically a 2 out of 3 falls match, but each match has a stipulation. The first match is a first blood match. The second fall will be decided by no DQ. And the third fall will be decided in an ambulance match. Whew. So it's first match. First blood.
It's a match.
Yes, it is. Dante Fox brings this big old piece of plate glass into the ring, and he sets it up on like 2 chairs, so he kind of makes a bridge with it between the 2 chairs. He sits Killshot up on the top. They're battling up there. Killshot fights off, but Dante Fox is able to backdrop Killshot through the glass, and Dante Fox wins the first fall because Killshot, of course, is bleeding all about the back.
Yeah, he was.
There's like a million pieces of glass in the ring.
Yeah, there are.
Not to mention that, like, in this first match, Dante Fox does this run up off the damn ring post, moonsault onto Killshot on the apron.
Yeah, he did.
Then he did the thing where he put Killshot's head in between. Killshot is laying face down on the mat, on the apron, that, you know, underneath the bottom rope, and he puts one chair underneath his face, and he puts one chair on his head, and then he goes onto the railing across from the ring and jumps off and does like a spinning leg drop on him. Oh my gosh.
She was crazy.
Yes, it was just the beginning too. So the next fall is a no DQ match. Killshot looking for plunder underneath the ring. And he gets a barbed wire board. He places it in the corner. They battle for position, and Killshot hits a super kick and then a series of running kicks into the corner. Mm. Killshot then hits a double foot stomp, but Dante Fox kicks out at one. Mm. Killshot then power bombs Dante Fox into the barbed wire board. Oh my gosh. Oh, I was literally watching this standing up, just walking around my living room like
stressed.
Like, oh my god. Okay, Killshot then hits the Storm Cradle driver into all the glass from the first fall, and Killshot wins the second fall, so now we're tied at one fall apiece. Dante Fox's back looked like hamburger meat. Oh my gosh, just blood everywhere, just puncture wounds all over the place. So now we go into our third and deciding fall, which is an ambulance match. They take the fight outside the ring, and they go up to where the band plays. Fox is choking out Killshot with an amp cable. Killshot is able to grab a bottle, and he breaks it over Dante Fox's head. Dante Fox then takes the Western movie fall, and there is this big-ass glass freaking table set up in the entranceway, and Dante Fox does head over heels and bumps through this big ass glass table. Killshot then comes back down, picks Fox up, carries him to the ambulance, puts him in, and Killshot is a winner of the Hell of War main event contest.
That shit.
This shit was amazing.
Match. That match. I was in my apartment like, what the fuck am I watching? And I was like, everybody was watching NXT. And I was like, no. No. I need somebody to see this with me.
Oh my gosh. This was one of the best matches I've seen on TV in a long time.
Absolutely.
One of the best death match, hardcore matches I've ever seen, just period. I mean, like Ric Flair said, those boys bled, sweat, and paid the price.
Did you see that sliver of like Dante's skin? On the gurney? Like, oh my God.
Yeah, they filmed this like a year ago. I don't know. I hate to have to get the alcohol and peroxide put on my back.
I know he was probably screaming. They probably had to give him some shots. Like, here, take this tequila, and then we'll work on it. Like,
not to mention, after the first fall, they wrestled the whole second fall with that big old piece of glass just shattered everywhere. So, I mean, they're getting body slammed into the glass.
And then I was looking at it, and I was like, honestly, that doesn't seem very safe. Like, I understand it's like glass, like, you know, TV glass.
Yeah,
but it could still like go up in your eyeball. That was a whole lot of glass. Like, things could happen with that much glass. I was like, that is just not safe.
Yeah, this I'm gonna try to find a link to this match and put it out on underneath of what we were watching, because
it is 40 minutes of magical, devilish destruction. Like, it just didn't even make sense how good the match was. Like,
exactly.
And then there's this like backstory about how they were in war together. I don't know if that's true or not, but we'll go with it. And how, like, I guess one of them abandoned the other. Who knows?
Killshot left Dante Fox for dead. Yeah.
Oh, and then Dante Fox was alive and sexy. Yes. So see what I'm saying? There's backstory. It matters. Like, it's real. Like, you need to see this match.
Yes, this was.
You have to.
This if there is a match better than this in the next three events, Ultimate Lucha, they're gonna have to put on one hell of a show.
This
definitely will probably be in the running when we do our El Dandies for match of the year.
Definitely, because it's top five of the year.
Oh yeah.
Well, I don't watch New Japan, but definitely top five of the year for if you don't watch New Japan.
Yeah, this was top five. If you do, I mean, just the amount of violence, and then the athleticism that these two guys were showing. I mean, you know, not only were they giving you hardcore blood and guts and horror, but they were also giving you all types of, you know, moonsaults and top ropes.
That move that Dante hit off the top rope when they said like he almost slipped but he made it into something.
Oh, he did the split. They were both up on the rope and he was on one side and Killshot was on the side and he jumped off his side over the Killshot side, slipped a little
shit like that.
Slipped a little bit and still hit the top rope Spanish fly on him.
I ain't seen no shit like that. I said, what? Where are they practicing? Are they like in the bounce house just being like, we're just going to do it all?
See, and now I have to watch Lucha.
I
watched it a couple times, and like the way that it's set up, and you know how you know they tell a story, and it's more—it's way more TV show than it is wrestling. And I was just like, man, this is kind of interesting. But I mean, I got shows to watch on Wednesday night, so you know, I can't keep adding wrestling to every night of my week.
Save it till the weekend. Watch it on Saturday morning. I was telling them when it first debuted, it gave me like it wasn't a cartoon show, but it was a Saturday morning like ninja show where it had a storyline and then they would fight in the arena and then that meant something about medallions or some bullshit. It's very much like that, but like rated R with blood and guts and shit.
Okay, so like, then I'll let me set that on the DVR now.
Yeah, it's definitely... It's definitely like a Saturday morning. Like if you're not one of those I clean up by listening to Al Green types. Yeah, it's definitely a good Saturday morning show.
Yeah, yeah. And this particular episode was really good. Like the first match probably went like 15 minutes. They took a commercial break.
Yeah.
They announced the guys and then like Dee Dee said, they have 40 minutes.
Yeah.
And they did the damn thing. So yeah, I'm going to try to find a link to put this out so y'all can watch it underneath the What We Were Watching hashtag. So you guys who don't watch Lucha Underground regularly can at least see this one match and enjoy it like me and Dee Dee did. I saw it about an hour after Dee Dee did.
Maybe this will get me over.
And, I mean, if this don't, nothing will, because this is the one.
Right. So at this point, we're at the end of the show. So we'll open it up to Koopa for his shout outs and thank yous.
I mean, just, you know, thank y'all for having me first and foremost. You know, thank the WrestleFam for keeping me entertained every Monday, Tuesday, and pay-per-view Sunday. Shout out to the 12,000 new followers that I have.
He's famous.
Just randomly out the blue. Nah, not yet.
No, you know what happened? You got mentioned on Jenkins and Jones, dog. That's exactly what happened. Yep. Mm-hmm.
This was before they released it. Like I gained all these followers like pretty much Sunday.
It was off your Rules of the Flag tweet.
Yeah, it was viral real quick.
I know it was off that, but it came.
It was quick.
So fast. I had 1,200 followers. I have 12,500 now. Like on Friday, I logged onto my laptop, and on Friday, like you can see, like you know, because they have the tweet data and everything else.
Mm-hmm.
You can see, like I wasn't, you know, no interactions, my normal stuff on Friday. And then on Saturday, it was kind of, you know, rose up a little bit. You want to know how many interactions I did on Sunday? Just organic interactions with my tweet. 49 million.
Oh, holy Jesus.
Holy smokes.
49 million interactions with that tweet thread.
Jesus.
So what I said was sudden. I went from like 12,000 interactions to 49 million. It was bananas. And so now I got like 12,000 new followers. I don't know how to navigate this newfound fame and attention. Like this, it was just a lot, man. I was overwhelmed over the weekend. I had to detach for a little bit because there was just a lot going on, man. But, you know, shout out to everybody who's there. You know, that number's not going to stay there. A lot of people are going to leave in the next week or so, you know. But, you know, thank y'all for being there now. And, yeah, that's it, man. I'm just living life.
All right, man. Well, we're so happy to have you here. And to be a first-time guest on the show, and definitely we'll have you back in the future.
First-time podcast ever. So, you know, broke me in real gentle-like. I appreciate that.
Yeah, we try to be as easy on the first timers as we can. Yeah. Next time though, you'll have to, you know, just get your ratchet quotient up and, you know.
Well, really... I kind of faded out because, you know, I don't watch too much 205 Live and NXT. But next time, I'm gonna have the Raw, the SmackDown, the NXT, the 205 Live, the Lucha Underground. You know, I'm be fully immersed on, so I can, you know, be in the conversation the entire time.
All right, Miss Didi Jonet, thank yous and shout outs.
Shout out to Mel because Mel always gets shout outs. Shout out to Classic because he was late saying happy birthday, but he did say it, and that's all that matters. And honestly, my birthday is not over until October 1st, so there's that. Shout out to my friend Lauren. It's her birthday. Shout out to my friend Inca. She got engaged. She popping. Who else? Shout out to my brother and his fiance, because I guess we're getting closer to bridesmaids' dresses. So that's a win. And shout out to everybody who watched. Oh, shout out to Ash.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. We got to give her props.
Yeah, because of her, I have found out that General Hospital is on demand. So that means I can find out about Double Jasons and all that.
And she won Who You Got. First timer.
Yeah. I'm a hater. Yeah.
Beat us at our game.
She won Who You Got. Donald was in second place. I was in third place because I had faith in people who I should not have had faith in. But, you know. What can you do?
Hey, speaking of soaps, what soap was that T-Boss was on?
Days of Our Lives.
Okay.
Yeah, that's the NBC soaps. I don't know why she's on there, though.
Like, she needs a check? Like,
no, I mean, I know that, but like, is it like, is she full-time? Is she part-time? Is this just like a six-week contract? Like, what are we doing? Why are you there and Chili's not there? Like, she still get Dallas Austin child support? Like, why both of y'all ain't on the show then? Like, what? I got questions. Why she got her same hair? Why y'all didn't give her a wig? Like, what? Is that what we look like in jail? We got the blonde bangs.
They gave her a double swoop too.
I can't. I got questions. I need answers.
Well, if they did all that, y'all might not have been able to recognize that it was T-Boz, and that probably would defeat the point.
I mean, but it's not like they announced it. It was like Twitter was like, "Is that T-Boz?" Like, it was a secret. Like, I don't understand.
You got anything else?
No. Oh, yeah. Shout out to you. Shout out to Samuel. Shout out to Greg making them monies. I think that's it.
All right. Well, we'll give a shout out to Mel and Siege, as they have launched the new and improved version of the Good and Terrible Show. So you guys go check them out on their new podcasting platform over there that they're kicking off. So please support them as much as you did when they were on CSPN. Give a shout out to Classic. Give a shout out to Sam and Greg. Give a shout out to my Cast of Strong Style co-host, JPK Moto. We actually put a little wager on our Who You Got that we played last week. So now I've got to come up with a cool nickname that I can call her for the whole show since I won.
Oh, you won that one. Oh, there you go.
Of course I won that one. Very Horowitz pat on the back. shout out to Jay doing big things. Shout out to Kisa. Shout out to Jupiter Julep, Queen Mel Mindy, and the whole globe who is always there to support us every week. Shout out to everybody who shows up SmackDown Matters and the Rawcast. Shout out to CJ. Shout out to Brandon, Darth Kudo. Shout out to Dwayne, the Libracon. Shout out to Mo. Chill Life, Chill Gang out there. Shout out to Finn. Shout out to Corbin. Man, just shout out to all of y'all that, you know, rocks with the WrestleCast and continues to listen and interact on Twitter. Again, interact on Twitter. Follow us at the WrestleCast. Follow me at Don DeLorente. Follow Didi at Didi Jonay. You know, give us 5 stars if you guys listen through iTunes. Continue to rate and review the show so we can get more listeners and more people to interact and continue to grow. We're coming up on 3-year anniversary here coming up in a few shows. So, you know, that's a big milestone coming up. So very proud of that and our consistency of, knock on wood, so far not missing a week in 3 years. So a lot of podcasts can't say that, and I'm extremely proud that we can say that here on the WrestleCast. So, that being said, for our special guest, Koopa Kinte, who you can follow on Twitter at Koopa_Kinte.
No, I'm full.
My SmackDown Matters correspondent, Miss Didi Jonay. I'm Don DeLorente, and this has been episode 153 of the WrestleCast. Please stay tuned for the parting promo.
Roman! Wow, what a year. I mean, you beat and retired Undertaker at WrestleMania. And then you had an equally impressive victory last night against John Cena. And on Raw Talk, John Cena said about this match that it was a passing of the torch moment. How do you feel hearing that come from a person like John Cena?
Since you're pretty long-winded, I'm going to cut to the chase and tell you, I respect John Cena now. The fact is, he did it for 15 years. He held the fort down for 15 years. There's not another guy, there's not another top guy that can say that. So yes, I respect John Cena. And that's why I'm proud to say that I beat John Cena last night. And if I'm gonna be honest, it was the biggest win I've ever had in my entire career. So you weren't the only one celebrating all night. It's been a long night. I don't have a lot of sleep. My back hurts from the match, and I really don't understand why I'm sitting here talking to an idiot like you.
An idiot like me. I mean, why would Roman Reigns talk to little old Miz? Because you're the guy. You know who the guy is? The guy in the ring with the championship. Because at No Mercy, I single-handedly retained my Intercontinental Champion, making the most prestigious and honorable title in all the WWE. And I proved exactly what I said Jason Jordan is. A loser. Yeah. Yeah. I'm that guy.
Loser. I've been in the ring with you, and I've been in the ring with Jason Jordan, and I'm telling you right now, he's a thoroughbred, and you could not beat him one-on-one. If it wasn't for these idiots helping you all the time, you wouldn't have won last night. Matter of fact, why won't y'all help me? Why don't y'all run back there and grab me a beverage or something?
It's kind of ironic coming from you talking about the Miztourage, Bo Dallas, and Curtis Axel, because when you first came to WWE, you rode the coattails of two superstars. And if the Miztourage was around 5 years ago, nobody would remember the Shield. Do you know what would happen if the Miztourage faced the Shield?
Would whoop y'all's ass, no problem. Bro, it would be terrible for you. Are you kidding me? I don't want that. And you're not going to get it because Dean and Seth are doing their thing and I'm doing mine. And I have my own direction. The Universal Championship. So that means I'm coming after the Beast.
I invite you onto my show and you disrespect the Miztourage, my brothers, and then you go about disrespecting me by talking about another champion in front of me. You beat John Cena once. Great. But what about all the times that you choked? You think we all forgot about when you got pinned by Brock Lesnar at SummerSlam? You've never been Universal Champion, yet you act like all of us are beneath you. Let me explain something to you. Since I came to Monday Night Raw, I've carried this show. I've made this title what it is today. And this is the title to have, and I am the man to beat, and I will not be disrespected.
All right, let's do it.
Do what?
Let's run it. Let's fight.
Roman, I have a pregnant wife at home who needs me very much. So I thank you for the show. Thank you, everyone. Miztourage, let's go.
Tell Maurice you can be home a little late tonight because I love the idea of a match between you and Roman Reigns.